Are you missing out on connecting with your marketplace? How come people have so much business sense on one hand, yet totally miss the boat with social marketing? Hi, it's Martin Wales, and welcome to another edition with myself and my wonderful co-host. We're going to talk about your instant credibility, celebrity, and cash, more customers, more clients, and more money. And of course, Scott Patton is here with me, and I gotta warn you, he's got a rant today, and I love it when he gets in a rant because that means revenue for you. So, the Dean of Blogonomics and Podology, how you doing today?
I'm doing great.
Well, you know what?
Yeah, I'm excited.
We've been talking about Facebook. Yes, actually, I don't know if there's questions and then there's answers. You've got your answers, and we have some suggestions and some insights for you today talking about Facebook. Our topic, Facebook fantasies, how to avoid the myths, missteps of Facebook and make money today. So who better than my bud Scott to talk today about what's going on with Facebook, what's going on with marketing in general, and how can you leverage what is hot and avoid what is not when you're building your instant credibility, celebrity, and cash. Scott, what are we going to start with today?
Well, I want to start with a headline that I saw in one of the local online magazines, WebPro News. I don't mind. You know, it's a great spot for finding out, you know, kind of what's going on and what's happening in the online marketing, high-tech computer stuff. And they talked. Their headline was Facebook ads gaining popularity among local businesses. And I think that, you know, so the first thing that they say is 22% of local merchants have used Facebook ads, and two-thirds of them would use them again. So, you know, is that gaining popularity? I don't know. You know, well, obviously, 5 years ago, nobody was using Facebook ads because they didn't exist. So I guess, yeah, now it's gone from 0 to 22. But, you know, sort of what does that mean? Right.
Well, Scott, I always look at statistics and say, my statistics prof in college used to say, there's two types of statistics, really big lies and then really tiny little white lies. So,
yeah.
You know, it's like when you see on the news, 30% of people hate dogs. I'm like, well, that means 70% are neutral or love dogs. So it's the way you introduce things. I think the way we should frame it today is, you know, how important is Facebook, social media, or any marketing you use to your business. So whether 22% of businesses are using it because the other 78% don't know about it, or, you know, I think the article goes on and says like one-third of those using it. So I'm like, now we're down to one-third of 22%, you know, whether they'll use it again or not, etc. I think what you have to do is test it for your business. I mean, if it works for you, then keep using it. Some industries, some businesses lean themselves more towards direct marketing, possibly direct mail. Others lean themselves more towards publicity-based advertising. So you're publishing a book. You need a little more publicity, a little more promotion. But if you're selling, you know, pool cleaning services, then, you know, getting a database of people who own pools and sending them a postcard email or email is, you know, probably far more effective than hitting the 20 million people in, you know, five states or provinces around you. So, you know, definitely I think, you know, let's keep the statistics in perspective, right? And then let's narrow it down to what's in it for me and my business, right?
Well, that's right. And I always tell people, like, you know, first of all, who is your customer and where do they hang out? Mm-hmm. And if they're, you know, hanging out on Facebook, then that's something you need to look at. If they're hanging out somewhere else, then, you know, at the local park, then you need to, you know, maybe a billboard would be more appropriate. But it seems like what happens is we get all this hype and everybody sort of jumps on the bandwagon and they don't really know what to do or how to do it. And so they don't, and they also don't know how to target. Like, so the advantage of Facebook is Facebook knows how old you are, whether you're male or female, what you do for a living, what your interests are. So if I'm a male and I'm 50 years old and I belong to 14 weight loss groups, then, you know, probably a weight loss ad on my page would be very effective.
Or how to find a thin wife.
That's right. You know, or if I'm single, right? If I'm single and, you know, then that might be a good, you know, how to find the good wife, right? or the perfect wife or something like that, sort of that might work. Or, and they also have a pretty good idea where I am. So if I'm living in Vancouver or I'm living in New York, then if I'm a New York restaurant that knows that, you know, that this guy is single and he's probably going to want to take his date someplace to impress him, then that might be, a good business to advertise. But
well, Scott,
people don't really...
Yeah, I was just going to say, should everyone use Facebook? But let's say, you know, I'm buying chlorine for my pool, you know, and on their website it's like this, like, oh, here's a tub of chlorine for $20 instead of $40, like this. Like, just because, you know, I, as a business, I can drive a customer one time to my Facebook fan page, and does that mean that's an effective medium for me? So I think a lot of people sort of come down to, is Facebook effective for my business, and how do I measure that?
Exactly. And it's easy to measure because you know how many people clicked on your ad if you do proper tracking. And you should have, and we also want to always have an offer, right? Like, so the question is, when you're talking to your customers on a daily basis, what are the questions that they're asking? Put together a short report, and then you can create a list, right? So you can have a Facebook page, you know, like this page to get my free report. And, you know, the way the software and everything works, I think, or you can have an opt-in form on it. I think there is software actually that will collect the email address when they like you. I'm not 100% sure. But regardless, you know, they get the free report. Well, you have to email them the free report, or you have to have,
right,
you know, you have to have some sort of confirmation.
Well, what you can do is you can now have a landing page, essentially, if you will, with an opt-in on Facebook.
On Facebook, yeah.
So you can have an opt-in.
Yeah, so you send them there, they have to like it, then they see the opt-in page, then they opt in, they get your report, and now all of a sudden you've created a list of, you know, 30 or 40 people who have pools in the Phoenix area, and that's because you're in Phoenix and you're a pool cleaning company. Great, now you can send special offers to these people. You know, it's Wednesday, it's quiet, slow day, I'll send them an email saying, you know what, we're going to have a 50% off on pool cleaning today for the first three people that call us, so please call us right away, 1-800, whatever it is, or here's the local number, and boom, now you've got five pools that you're going to be cleaning when you had none before.
Now, the advantage is here, I mean, if you're listening to what Scott's saying, one thing I'll say clearly is this is permission-based marketing. So someone is telling you, yes, I am interested, I am in Phoenix, I am interested in having my pool cleaned, I am, you know, willing to be on your list. I am willing to trade my name, my email for the free report on, you know, how to reduce, you know, the cost of keeping your pool clean or warm or whatever it is. So it's permission-based. When you do create a list, which is an asset for your business. It is specific and qualified to your business and the services you offer. You can send messages to those people or through events pages, letting people know that you've got a sale on a Wednesday when it's slow, and it's not going through an email spam filter. So those are just some of the advantages of being present. Also, you know, sort of what goes unspoken is, you know, Facebook pages are Googled as well. They're searched by the search engines. So any content online is going to bring people to you. Facebook is a natural referral medium where I can quickly tell people about what I'm looking at, so you know, whether they see what I'm liking or whether I'm actually just, you know, messaging someone directly and saying, hey, check this out, and giving them the link. There's lots of hidden opportunities here. And Scott, one of the things that you and I talked about just prior to coming on the air when we were prepping was it's not about the size of the list. So part of the news piece we were reading here was, you know, is Facebook in decline? And, you know, they only got 13 million new users this month instead of 20 million like they did last month. You know, does it really matter? Are those 20 million new this month going to be my customers for my pool cleaning business in my region? So we always get caught up in the hype of the media, like, oh, no, Facebook's going down. You know, they've got 500 million registered users. Some people 700 million. Some people argue, well, you know, there's 700 people who at least one time said, yeah, I'm a Facebooker, you know, versus other people who have more than one identity. You know, all those sorts of, all that aside, doesn't matter. Even if it's 100 million, even if it's 20 million, isn't that more than the 20 prospects you really want for your business this month?
Exactly. I mean, you have to look at, you know, what do you need for your business, and can you contact them on Facebook. And I'm actually really amazed, because one of the areas that that I market to are coaches and speakers and authors. And what happens, of course, is authors know authors and speakers know speakers. And Facebook has this great thing that says, you know, here are you know, some people you may know, right? And if you, if I go to the page of one of my friends who's an author, I can look at their friends and see who among those friends fit the profile that I want. And sometimes I, you know, I kind of do it on a really haphazard, unscientific way. It's just, you know, I think, wow, like, this person looks interesting. Click on it. And sure enough, like, they're an author or they're a speaker or something like that. They do, and I think, wow, like, that's really cool. I befriend them. I don't keep track of who I ask to be friends and who says yes or no, who says yes, and then who says, who doesn't say anything.
Right.
I don't really
keeps the tears to a minimum.
Well, I can't, you know, if I do 10 requests, do I get 10 yeses? Do I get one yes? I have no idea, right? But I get, you know, I get people every day that befriend me. And the thing is they're all people that I'm interested in creating a relationship with. So that's the point of it, right? Is like, can you find the type of people that you want to be in a relationship with on Facebook?
Absolutely. Well, Scott, I really love what you just said, because people forget the past. Like, when I first got started in sales marketing, I was working with a business that sold telephone systems to businesses. And they handed you a phone book and said, here, call businesses. So, you know, you have to get on the phone, call someone you didn't know the name of, didn't know what they looked like, didn't know necessarily what business they were in or whether they needed a telephone system or not, you know, that sort of thing. But it was a hard grind. You basically were taking shots in the dark. So the ability to actually, you know, what you're saying may sound haphazard, but you've got a lot of information. They're telling you about themselves. They tell you their interests. They're telling you what business they're in, what industry. They're actually reaching out. They're in a community where it's understood that people are friending each other. It's like your advantage as a small business person here and an individual consultant or a speaker, coach, etc. You don't need, you know, you're not looking for 1,000 leads a month necessarily. I mean, you may have an information product that you want to sell, but if you're selling a product where you can only handle so many clients per month, you're still in the business of time for dollars, then, you know, it's got to be manageable business. If you get 1,000 leads and 500 of them are a waste of time. So it's part of its productivity, part of its efficiency, part of its qualification in your marketing. But it's amazing to me that we don't realize what we have, the power that we have, the ability to find them on Facebook, create a relationship with them possibly. You recognize, you get told, this person, here are these person's friends, or you actually have mutual friends. I'm surprised.
And when they post stuff, you get to see what they post too, right?
Exactly.
So it's like, oh, this is what they're into.
And it's got links to their website. When you call them, you have more business intelligence than some people used to have to pay $50 to $100 per prospect for, even when they weren't totally qualified for your business. So you could pay a penny a name. Like 20 years ago, you could pay a penny a name for this massive phone book directory that's got put on a disc. That's how long ago it was. Or you could pay $50 and get information about when they last purchased a car. Or, you know, the more information you got, the more expensive it was. And now it's free. It's instantaneous. It's at your fingertips. You know, probably some of the challenges are there's a massive amount of information, almost too much. Everybody else has access to it and so on. But the point is, everyone else doesn't know what to do with it. So you need to put together a strategy, a system, a plan. Even like you said, you're going to sit down and commit every day to maybe half an hour on Facebook where you do a search or where you find mutual friends and get recommended to other people.
Well, if you get a friend request for somebody who's got 300 mutual friends with you, even if you don't say yes, you're going to go and check out that person because, you know, obviously we have a lot of friends in common, right? And so there's a social aspect to Facebook that gets through the main problems everybody talks about when they want to get more sales is like, how do I connect with somebody, right? Like, I had a phone call yesterday from some guy who was trying to tell me I had a virus on my computer. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, like, how do you know that? And he says, well, just go on your computer and do this, this, this. I says, like, who did you call? He wouldn't answer, right? Hmm. Like, I thought this must be a wrong number, right? Like, I said, why are you calling me? He said, no, just go on your computer and type this in, and you'll see you have virus. And I go, you know, thank you very much. Goodbye. Because, like, it was just like, what was that, right? And this is what we seem to think a lot of times, is just, like, jump into somebody's face, and they're going to buy from us. No. How do we create a relationship? Well, if you can find a lot of your customers, and with 700 million accounts on Facebook, there should be a few there, and then you can connect with those people somehow. There are groups that, I mean, there's lots of things to do. And this whole thing that about small businesses and the Facebook ads and having problems, we run into this all the time. And the fact of the matter is that, you know, Martin, if you were going to go and buy a new car, you would not go down to the local dealer and say, do you have a silver car? And the guy goes, yeah, I do. As a matter of fact, it's 35 grand. And you write out a check for 35 grand, hand it to him, and take off. That never happens. But in the internet marketing world, for some strange reason, I'm constantly finding people that are, oh, man, I just spent $10,000 on a Facebook ad campaign or an AdWords campaign or SEO or blogging or whatever it is, and I got nothing for it. Well, like, why did you do what you did?
Right, well, there's a myth right there. Throwing money at it, it's not going to make it work.
Right. Like, if you were going to start up a business and you said, you know, one of the things I need to do in my business is take credit cards, and in order to do that, I need a merchant account. And I also need the swiper thing and all that sort of stuff. And then you go to the bank that you've been banking at since you were like 2 years old. Your dad opened up the account for you, and you talk to the banker there, and you say, "This is what I need." And he says, "Oh yeah, great, no problem. It's going to cost you know like $5,000 to open up the account. It's going to cost this, 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 and but you'll be able to do all these things. No worries." Most business people would not say, "Give me the form, and I'll sign right now." They would go and they would probably talk to their accountant, they might talk to their lawyer, they would probably go to another bank, they would do some research to say, you know what, this is what, and then you find out that actually, you know, it's 3% and, you know, maybe $1,000 for the setup or something like that. At most places, your bank happens to be the most expensive one. We're constantly price checking, we're constantly checking, you want to buy a car, like you take it for a test drive, you ask your friends, you know, what are you driving? Do you like it? How long have you had the car? Have you had any problems? You tend to do, you get online and find the blue book. There's all sorts of things, you know, there's car review magazines. All these things that we do, we spend way more time picking our car than we do spending any time on our marketing. The Yellow Pages guy comes in and he tells you all these great things. It's $5,000 a month. You sign on the thing. 6 months later, you wonder what happened to your 30 grand. And those are the stories that we hear all the time.
And got zero customers. Definitely. So you really want to avoid that. So I think one of the myths is Facebook is for everyone. So for every business. I don't think Facebook is for every business.
I don't think there's anything that's for every business.
Mm-hmm, exactly. What's some of the other myths that you've been finding going on there? Like, I find that some people focus solely on Facebook because it's the latest, hottest thing. So I think focusing, using it as a one-armed, a one-legged dog, right? It's not going to work.
Right. I mean, there's lots of ways that you can market your business, and we're just basically talking about Facebook. And all of them really involve getting into it and spending some time figuring it out. And that's the part that most people don't do. In fact, I have another client who decided, well, I need to have a product out to, you know, if I could sell 1,000 of these CDs that I'm going to record at $200 a pop, that's 1,000 times 200, that's $200,000. Yeah, I should be able to do that. Get a couple people to JV with me and away I go. Well, the problem is that, you know, the recording's not really that good. He's very good in a workshop setting, and so he tried to replicate his workshop setting on a CD. So the teaching part was good, but the experiential part, where you actually want somebody on the other side to do something, it was really, really bad, right? But, you know, he spent all his time doing it and everything else, and it was just like, oh, we got to do this. And he goes and he does all this stuff without thinking about, you know, is there a better way to do it?
Well, that's the perfect example of somebody who's caught up in a process or process, depending on where you live, okay, instead of the objective. So having a clear understanding, having realistic goals, they get caught up in the, you know, this is the trendiest thing right now that I can do. Everyone else is doing it. I should be doing it. And they just launch into the process. They just launch into, you know, feeling good about momentum of actually, you know, accomplishing something and going forward. But they really, like you said, you know, didn't have the quality down, didn't have, you know, really the, he wasn't good at transferring from the live medium of seminars to, you know, the unseen. All I can hear is voice on a CD or an audio product.
Right. Well, a CD tends to be passive, right? Like, it's really rare that you'll see people listening to a CD and doing something related to the CD. They'll listen to it as they go for a walk, right? Well, if the CD and the process that he's teaching, for example, was to yell at the top of your lungs and you're going for a walk in the woods, you know, it's a crowded park, you know, not going to fly, right? So, but it would be great for a live teleclass, for example, right? I mean, so there are ways of doing it. It's just that we tend to get in our minds these preconceived notions. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this, and just assume that it's all going to happen the way, you know, we dream it's going to happen, as opposed to sitting down and working out a basic. You know what? This is my funnel.
Exactly.
This is how I'm going to get. I'm going to offer a free book, a free audio, a free DVD of something that people really need to know, great content. They're going to want to know more. And then so I'll send them another follow-up email with more information and maybe a link to another video and another one. And I'm going to go, and those people, this is the beauty of Facebook, right? Like if you put those, because one of the things you can do is you can integrate your website with Facebook and you can put a like button and comments. So you can have actual comments from people on Facebook. Well, when they put those comments, of course, all their friends see it, right? When they like it, all their friends see it. So
that's
it becomes viral really, really well when you've got good information that your audience wants, and, of course, their friends with, you know, may or may not want it too, but they're going to be exposed to it.
Well, the good news is it's personal, and the bad news is you need to take the time to be personal. So there is some viral capability. There is some, you know, sort of broadcasting mode to it where somebody likes what you've put up and, you know, they're telling their friends. So that's definitely there. So, but you do need to have that base infrastructure. You need to spend that time to win.
You have strong foundation.
Yeah, you need to win the value proposition with friends, just like you do in the good old days when or in retail where customers walk into your store. If you have a relationship with the person who sells you technology, so I, you know, where I used to live, I was like the number one customer in the Sony store. So it was because I had a relationship with the manager, all the salespeople. You know, I got, you know, respectful deals. They, you know, they would come to my house for free and set up the home theater. They would call me and let me know when the latest and greatest was in. You know, so that's what I was into. And they served my needs. They served my wants even. So and there was a relationship. I actually knew their names. So, you know, the same with the clothing shop where I get my suits and things like that. The dude actually phones me and says when the new material's in, things like that.
Yeah.
So there's
and
an actual...
At the Sony store, do you think they have as many customers as Best Buy or Walmart's electronics department?
No, probably not.
No. Hey, but I'll bet you they make pretty good money. And I think that's one of the points, right? It's like they're very clear on who their market is and what they want to do, and it's more high-end people that are more discriminating, that want to have better products, right? Because you'll tend to buy a higher, I mean, you can buy a video camera for $100, or you can buy one for $500, or you can buy one for $2,000, right? And you don't see the $2,000 cameras at Best Buy, but you probably will see them at the Sony store. I know you'll see them at the Sony store. I've seen them.
Excellent. Well, there you go.
Well, that's a great example, Martin.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's about there has to be some investment to create a relationship of value. You can't just generally have it instantly, and it's going to happen over time. So I think part of there are success stories of people who use Facebook to build lists and sort of have that instant success. We all hear the people who are selling the products, like instant fan pages and the likability system or whatever it is. But in the end, a long-term, resilient, revenue-generating business is going to be based on solid relationships. You get referrals, just like you do in the offline world, where someone shakes your hand, looks you in the eye, and says, you know, my friend came here, they told me it was an excellent deal. They said you, Bob, or Sue were the person who could help me, and that's why I'm here. And so already everyone's starting off on a grounding of respect, and there's no hard selling going on. There's a network of events and chains that are going on. So there's plenty more to talk about here, Scott, and we could go on for a while. And we have, as we sometimes do. But we're going to wrap it up for today, and I think we should come back and maybe concentrate on some of the specific things that we've been talking about today. What do you think?
I think so, because it's a deep topic. And once you get the foundation of this in place, it makes your business easy. And a lot of people struggle in their business, and it's because they don't know their customer, they don't know really what they want to offer, they don't know who they are themselves, and they don't know what their own strengths are. And a lot of times people will go and work with somebody for none of the reasons that the person who's giving the service think that those people are there for. And so that's really the beginning of the whole thing. You know, what am I doing? And who is my ideal customer? Like a lot of times people, they don't think about, they think 700 million Facebook users are my ideal customer. It doesn't work that way.
Absolutely. Well, there you go. The Dean of Blogonomics and Podology on Facebook Fantasies. And we're going to talk more about how to avoid the myths, missteps, and make money today. One of our podcasts, let's do a show on fan pages. And look at the difference between them and your regular friend page, and see how you can use it in your business. So join us again next time for Instant Credibility, Celebrity, and Cash. More customers, more clients, and more money. Of course, I'm Martin Wales, Customer Catcher. You can get free sales and marketing tips and tricks at customercatcher.com, or you can find me at martinwales.com. That's WALES MARTINWALES.com. That's longer than call letters on the radio, I'll tell you that. And my friend Scott, where can my friends get in touch with you?
Head over to www.meetscottpatton.com, and that's where you can meet me. And I've got a free report there on unwebonomics, what's happening in the mobile marketing field, and why the web is dead. Must reading for anyone that's interested in promoting their local business or their international business.
Excellent. All right, well, there you go. That's another wrap. Join us again next time. Tell your friends about us on Facebook, Twitter, wherever you'd like, how you best communicate. But we're happy to help you, and we're happy to help them. We'll see you again next time. I'm Martin Wales, along with
Scott Patton, the Dean of Blogonomics and Podology. Thanks for joining us, everyone.
Bye for now.